Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Does God really love you? Is God really gracious toward your mistakes? These are really great questions to ask ourselves in the midst of our look at unconditional love and grace in the opening verses of Romans chapter 5. Or how about this question for reflection? Does God want you to go on vacation? What prompts this question is an expression that some Christians use that has always irked me a little bit. Recently, I asked a friend who has a tendency toward workaholism about the certainty of an upcoming vacation that he has planned. He answered with the statement that makes my flesh crawl. He said, "God willing, brother." God willing, brother. You know any of those? God willing, brother people? Well, his response prompted this thought. How certain is God? If God is not certain, then you have every reason to question whether God loves you or if God is really gracious towards your mistakes. As a Christian, all you have to do to rattle your certainty is to avoid contact with the Word of God. But if you study the Word of God, you'd be hard-pressed to be confused about any subject. Does God want you to go to hell? Well, a part of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "No, the Lord is not wishing for any to perish." Does God want you to go on vacation? John chapter 12, verse 23 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask God the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you." Now, when you see "truly, truly" in a verse, it means that this forever will be a point of contention that the kingdom of darkness will attack. "Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask God the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you." Is God willing, brother? You bet he is. Ask any question. Does God want you to be saved? Does God want you to know the truth? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. "This is good and acceptable in the sight of the God who is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who desires all men to be saved and who desires all men to come to the knowledge of the truth." So does God want you to be saved? Yes. The Bible says yes. Does God want you to know the truth? Yes. The Bible says yes. So in today's lesson, we're going to learn the importance of a God who is black and white. We're going to learn the importance of a God who is clear and definite in every matter. Welcome to Bible study, where you can learn about what God thinks on any subject. And as God prepares your soul for learning, let's join June Murphy in worshiping our Lord in song. The opening song is "Calling You to Freedom."
No more need. faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you come to no more condemnation? No more need to run. There's freedom in salvation. Will you come? This cross of freedom. Will you come? Freedom to know Him, freedom to serve, freedom to love Him.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to know You through Your Word. Show us what You think and how You feel about the subjects that are most important to us, about the subjects that You want us to know about. Help us to see the Word of God from Your perspective and not through the perversion of human viewpoint. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, God loves clarity. God loves clarity. But first, a few announcements. Mark your calendars. The next celebration of the Lord's Supper will be November 9th, 2014, second Sunday of the month. Mark your calendars also. No face-to-face teaching on the following dates, November 16th, December 7th, December 28th. Lessons will be provided online. The conversational Bible study for the resident congregation is this week, Wednesday, October 29th, from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. I'd like to meet with the deacons immediately after that for about 30 minutes so that we can plan for Mark Pomeroy's visit. Mark Pomeroy is going to be here next week to upgrade our video and audio to broadcast quality, which is going to be a coup for Barah Ministries, and we're going to use that on our Facebook page, and we're going to really start doing some innovative and creative things in the coming years, so we're really looking forward to that. The conversational Bible study for the non-resident congregation will be on, the date is wrong here, it should be Wednesday, October 29th, so it'll be on the same night, but from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. So for those of you who want to join, please send me an email request to pastor@barahministries.com, and I will send you the link. The ones of you who have already sent me a link for our Thursday, I think we originally had this Thursday, November 4th, for the non-resident congregation. So we're moving it to Wednesday, October 29th. I'm just going to change that right now so that I don't confuse myself. Wednesday, October 29th.
That's better.
All right, so non-resident congregation members, it'll be this Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And for the people who have already sent me requests, I'll send you a new go-to-meeting link. So we had to move this due to scheduling issues, and I'll give you much more notice in the future about changes in schedule. Like us on Facebook, like Barah Ministries on Facebook. We're building an online community, and we appreciate it that you get your friends to like us on Facebook. Happy 18th birthday to Alyssa Lopez, who had her 18th birthday yesterday. Come on up. Here's my new daughter. Say hi to all the people all over the world.
Hi.
Tell them what a great basketball coach I am.
You're great.
How many points are you going to score this year per game?
30.
I'll settle for 30. I'll take 20, actually.
20.
You going to get a scholarship to college?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. Thank you for coming up.
Thank you.
Happy 18th birthday. So she's got 75% of the rights of adults, right, once they hit 18. So I'm not going to tell you all the things she said that she's going to do now that she's 18. This is a PG show. But happy birthday, Alyssa. So next, we're going to take the offering. This is the time when you get to make a sacrifice on behalf of all the people around the world who can't afford to pay for the study of the Word of God. Your generous contributions make it possible for them to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ free of charge via the internet or via face-to-face teaching. And let's remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, which says, each one of us must do what we purpose in our heart and not things grudgingly or under compulsion, because the Lord loves what He is, a grace-oriented giver. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Good morning. I'm Deacon Denny Goodall. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any materials from Barah Ministries, so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. Even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. We appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourself and for others. So please be generous in your support of God's work through this ministry. And this ministry is really a special thing when you think about it, because I talked about a while ago really being kind of a news junkie, but you know, you can't trust the news. You have to really decipher the news, and it's not a pure source of truth. It's not like a reference book where it's telling you the truth. It's not like the Bible. And we know it's the truth because of John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus himself said to the disciples, I am the way and the truth and the Zoe life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus himself says that this is a source of truth, the Bible. So when you come here, you know you're getting the truth. You don't have to question. You don't have to investigate. You know, you can just let your guard down. And that's why this is such a special place to support with the offering, with your time, your talent, and your treasure. I saw a picture this week. It was Hugh Hefner surrounded by about 50 women in bikinis. And if you don't know who Hugh Hefner is, he's the founder of Playboy magazine. And the caption for the picture said, no one will say when Hugh Hefner dies that he's in a better place. But we know that's not true. We know heaven is going to be much better than just having scantily clad women around you. It's going to be much more than that. And that's just a simple example of how the truth will set you free. We don't have to worry. We can have pure contentment no matter what circumstance we're in, especially as a small growing church. I feel like we had one more part added, one more part of completion added to our church with our pastor getting married. Congratulations to both of you. It's an awesome thing. It's amazing. And to me, it warms my heart to know that, you know, they have a partner now, and it's divine unity, and it's true beauty. And that's what this church represents, is unity of all of us together, non-res and resident. And so, you know, your offering is unity. It comes together to help not just us, but many, many other people. So thank you so much.
Climb out of this boat and then onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and is holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win, you'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory.
So I'll let that song play out a little bit because that's a great song. The voice of truth is God the Holy Spirit, and he's telling us a very different thing. than we're hearing from the world. One thing I forgot to mention on the announcements, if you have any items that would be good for a garage sale, start saving them up. Let Mike or Larry Collins know, because we're going to have a garage sale and we're going to donate the proceeds to the food bank. And I think we have that coming up in November. So if you have anything, just let them know. And we've got every person in Barat Ministries is a hillbilly, including the kids. We all have trucks. So we can pick up anything you need. We can transport. We could start a moving company between the people that we have here. We have all kinds of trucks. Today's study, God loves clarity. I want you to hear that clearly. God loves clarity. That's what we just heard in that song. The voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth is the word of God. The voice of truth is God, the Holy Spirit, speaking this truth and clarifying that truth for us, just as Jesus Christ promised us. He said, it's good for you that I go away, because if I go away, I'm going to send you a helper who is going to help you understand and bring a helper that's going to bring comfort to you. And so God loves clarity. Unfortunately, however, human beings don't love clarity. Is God going to help you with your problems? That's a question that I have. Is God going to help you with your problems? Think about it for a moment. I want you to fill in this blank. The biggest problem that besets me in my life right this moment is blank. Fill in the blank. So you've got paper in front of you. I'd like you to fill that out. What is the biggest problem that besets you in your life? What's the biggest problem you're facing in your life right now? I want everybody to do it. Write it down. What's the biggest problem that you have in your life right now? And I wonder if you ever come to Bible study wondering if today's Bible lesson will answer the question concerning how you should handle the most pressing problem of today. Said another way, what are you worried about? And as I read what I wrote, you know, it's really funny, because listen to this. Do you ever come to Bible study wondering if today's Bible lesson will answer the question concerning how you should handle your most pressing problem of today? Because the truth of the matter is, if God considers you your problems to be his responsibility, then you shouldn't be handling any of your problems. Amen?
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 Amen.
You ought to give them over to somebody who's competent enough to handle them. Amen? But what are you worried about? Will God come through for you on your biggest problem? Will God remove your worry? If you come to the Word of God, the source of unmistakably clear answers to your most pressing problems, you will get a clear answer. Why? Because God loves clarity. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. God is not a God of confusion, but he is a God of peace, as in all the churches and of all the saints. And if you read the context of that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there's a lot of confusion in the Corinthian church. If you ever wonder why Paul wrote two letters to the Corinthians, it's because the Corinthians were very confused. They were a very confused church. They were taught clearly how it was, and then they completely turned away from it, invited all these influences into the church that ruined everything, and Paul had to keep going back there to correct them. That's sort of how we do things in our lives. We invite confusion where there is clarity. And so maybe sometimes you don't come to God with the right questions. I find that if you come to God with questions, he always has answers. I think quite often we love being confused, especially about biblical subjects. I have found God, the Holy Spirit, to be an answerer of well-asked questions. I was reading a passage on Facebook recently, and it was about a woman who had a relationship with a man, and she said she was convinced that he was her soulmate. And she talked about all the fantastic things about him, only there was one fly in the ointment. He was married. And he felt no problem bringing her around his kids, around people. She was his mistress, clearly. and around his pastor, but they weren't married. And she's in a quandary. I wonder if he's just married to the wrong person. Like, no, God doesn't bring you married people. It's not how he works. He's not a God of confusion. We're confused, but he's not. And I think sometimes we enjoy being confused. I have found God the Holy Spirit to be an answerer of well-asked questions. Does God want you to worry about your biggest problems? Clearly he doesn't. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, forget about it. Be anxious for nothing, which means stop worrying about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God the Father. All prayer directed to God the Father. And the peace of God the Father, a peace which surpasses all comprehension, will garrison your hearts and your minds in union with Christ Jesus. We are to hand over our biggest problems to God right now, and he will handle it right now. As a matter of fact, he's already handled it in the past. God loves solving your problems. So my question for you is this: does God really love you? Of course he does. John chapter 15, verse 13. He tells you he does. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Does God really give you grace in times of your mistakes? If so, how can you be sure? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that grace, faith, and salvation is not of yourselves. All is the gift of God. It is not a result of your works so that no one may boast. You don't have to work for God's grace. You don't have to work for God's love. Does he love you? Of course he does. But does that matter at all to you in those critical moments when you're going through the consternation of your problems and you're wondering about what's going on with your life? And I think a lot of times we make too much of our lives. A lot of times your life is as simple as just putting one foot in front of the other and watching what God's going to do for you. It's very much like my experience of golfing. You know, golf is a 5-hour game, but really the action part of it is about 29 minutes. So you know what makes golf hard? What makes golf hard is all the waiting. It's very much like life, because how much of life is the real action part? Not a lot. A lot of life is just waiting. A lot of life is just waiting for God to do what he does and sitting and simmering. See, things that grow tall and strong grow slowly and well. God is always helping us, watering us slowly, and having us send our roots deep into life's enduring values. And that happens by slowly and well. And so we're action people. We want to see it now. Now, now, now. But oak trees don't grow that way. And neither do you. How can you be sure about all matters? Go to God, because God is sure about all matters. He is always definite. He is always absolute. He is always sure. He is always clear. And as a matter of fact, I'll say it the opposite way. God detests confusion. God detests confusion. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. And you'll get a sense for how God feels about confusion. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, last book in the Bible. Should be easy to get to quickly. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. How does God feel about confusion? Revelation Now, the words you see if you've got your Bible open, if you've got a physical Bible and it's open, should be red, which means the Lord Jesus Christ is doing the talking. And here's what he has to say about confusion. He's talking to the Laodicean church. Laodicea is a location. He's talking to the Laodicean believers. These are a bunch of rich folks. He says, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. God hates lukewarm. So what is God referring to here? What God is saying is that he detests confusion. He would rather you were cold or hot. So, for example, he would rather you be an atheist than an agnostic. See, the atheist is cold toward God. The atheist doesn't think that God exists. The Christian does think that God exists. The agnostic says, I don't think the truths of concerning God can be known. One of the most frustrating things that you would ever do in your entire life is talk to an agnostic about God. It is absolutely frustrating because they are two steps below a nihilist. And a nihilist is a person who says, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. And I had a client who was a nihilist. And I made the mistake of having dinner with him one night, and I had to listen to him saying that. And every time he would say, it doesn't matter, nothing matters, I could feel my fist curling up. I wanted to punch him in his face. How can you live a life like that? How can you have gray hair on your head and think that way? I didn't get it. So there are three things you can be. Atheists say there is no God. Agnostics say the truth concerning God can't be known. Christians say there is a God and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So according to the analogy that God is using here in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, an atheist is cold, a Christian is hot, that means passionate, and an agnostic is lukewarm. The Lord would rather you be cold or hot, not lukewarm. Why? Because God loves clarity. He doesn't like wishy-washy. He doesn't like mamby-pamby. And we'll learn more about that after our 5-minute break. Thank you. more bathroom breaks for you, Denny. Welcome back. Throughout the Bible, God demonstrates a desire for definiteness. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods of Ur, which your fathers served, which were beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Be definite. Whose team are you on? The Lord Jesus Christ is always insisting on a clear choice because the Lord hates wishy-washy. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people didn't answer him a word. See, when you call people on their gray crap, they don't have anything to say. What is hesitating between two opinions? It's called vacillation. I call it leaving a wet trail like a snail. You slide over here and then you slide over there and leave a wet trail. Make a decision. Be where you are. Be wrong, but don't be confused. The Lord hates vacillation. Well, who vacillates? People who are intensely afraid of being wrong, who know they are wrong, and who want others to doubt their wrongness, who want others to think, well, wait a minute, are they really wrong? Yeah, you know when somebody's wrong, especially if you live with them, by the way. See, that's the one thing that is really funny to me is how people think that they can fool people they live with. You can't fool anybody you live with. They watch you all the time. They're like video recorders. They watch you all the time. And, you know, we're doing some of our best sales pitches at home, trying to convince everybody that we're not right. And everybody's looking at you like, seriously? Really? You know you're wrong. So when people want others to think that they might be right when they're not, that's where you get this vacillation from. So here's an analogy for it. Black, white, or gray. See, life is black and white in God's plan. It is or it isn't. But gray is black with a pretty dress on. Gray is wrong. Somebody is wrong, but they're trying to disguise it as if they're not. It's transparent, you know, and that's what the kingdom of darkness promotes, vacillation. The gray of this world is an invention of Satan in the kingdom of darkness, and it's designed to inspire doubt. See, Satan knows better than anybody what's right and wrong. He was the bodyguard of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not at all confused about anything. But he's always putting these questions in people's head. What did he put in the head of Eve? Did God not say? He knew what God said. Don't eat from the tree in the middle. Now, if he was being black and white, he'd say, "Hey, Eve, God said don't eat from the tree in the middle, right?" He knew. Did God not say? Like he's confused about it. He's not confused. He's a liar. I mean, even Yoda, you know that little ugly character in Star Wars, Yoda? You got any Star Wars fans in here? Even Yoda in The Empire Strikes Back said to Luke Skywalker in expressing the frustrations of a coach, "Always with you, what cannot be done." All right, I just wanted you to know I could do Yoda. I'm not going to keep doing it. He's talking to Luke Skywalker. He says, "Always with you, Luke, what cannot be done? Do you nothing? Do you know nothing that I say?" I think I goofed that up a little bit. Luke said, "Master, moving stones around is one thing, but this is totally different." No different. Only different in your mind. You must unlearn what you have learned. And what does Luke Skywalker say? "Okay, I'll give it a try." That's what you always hear when you're coaching people who are not committed to what you're asking them to do. They're going to try. You know what try is? Zero commitment. Now, what is it that you think you're going to be good at with zero commitment? You're not going to be good at anything with zero commitment. It's total commitment or no commitment. That's what God is saying in Revelation 3, 15 and 16. I'd rather you be cold or hot, zero commitment or total commitment. But don't be lukewarm. Don't put your toe in the water. Get naked and get in the pool. That's what he's saying. And so what does Yoda say to Luke? No, try not. Do or do not. There is no try. Try doesn't even exist. It's an invention of a liar. Satan invented it. And so therefore you know that gray, that try, is a lie. Or you don't like Star Wars? How about the Karate Kid? Right? Mr. Miyagi, what did he say to Daniel?
Daniel-san, karate do yes, karate do no. Karate do maybe so, get squished like grape.
Right? What is he saying? I would rather you be cold or hot, but lukewarm, get squished like grape. Try is a lack of commitment with a pretty dress on. Gray is black with a pretty dress on. Now, if we're to think like God thinks, we have to think in black and white, because God does not ever vacillate. Can you even imagine a God that vacillates? John 12:23. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask God the Father for anything in my name, he will try to give it to you. Do you want to worship a God that would say that? I don't. Why would I pray to you if I'm not absolutely certain that you're going to give me what it is I'm asking for after you've promised me that you would do it? See, with God, there is no try. That's not what that verse really says. If you go to your Bible and look at that verse, it does not say try. I put that in there. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask God the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. So we don't worship a God who is confused. We don't want to worship a God who vacillates between two opinions. Yet we let Satan sow the seeds of doubt in our minds about God's definiteness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul braces the Corinthians. They accused him of vacillation because he didn't come to Corinth when he said he would come. And here is Paul's response. He said, therefore, I was not vacillating when I intended to do this, was I? Or what I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, so that with me there will be yes, yes and no, no at the same time? 2 Corinthians 1:18, but as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but is yes in union with him. Hot. Our God loves clarity. When we doubt, we reject clarity in favor of confusion, like the fathers of Israel. Read Psalm 78 sometime if you want to see confusion at its finest. Psalm 78, verse 8, and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Lukewarm. If you're not faithful to God, you're lukewarm. Not cold or hot. Confusion is not faithfulness to God. There is never a reason to be confused about God or his word or about your life. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good thing given, every perfect gift is from above, including tribulation, coming down from God the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. And see, I always and cracking up when Christians want to debate about the Bible, as if somehow the Bible is not absolutely correct and absolutely crystal clear. See, if you're debating with another Christian about the Bible, you're confused, not the Bible. And you'll notice that when Christians are arguing, they never have this in their hand. All they have in their hand is their mouth. They never have this. They're never talking about what this says. And when you get into one of those arguments and you start saying, well, let's just turn there. Here's what it says. Argue with that. You can't argue with this. It's clear. Why? Because God loves clarity. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord's not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, which is an idiom, which means as some accuse him of. The Lord is not slow about his promise of salvation, as some accuse him of, but he's patient toward unbelievers. Not wishing for any of them to perish, but for all to come to repentance, a change of mind about the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's going to be the funniest thing about the lake of fire. There are going to be so many people down there who are scratching their heads, wondering, how did I get down here? I'm a good person. Yeah, all of us are. It's just like that big joke in prison. You know, if you ask prisoners, what'd you do? I'm not guilty. Nobody in prison is guilty. Just like nobody in the lake of fire is going to think they're down there because they're a bad person. But they're down there for what? The God who didn't want them to perish, they rejected him. And the older I get and the more I look at unbelievers with their smug, self-righteous lifestyle, I just shake my head because they're not confused. See, earlier in my life, when I was young, I used to feel sorry for them because I thought, well, they just don't know. They know. And they're rejecting Jesus Christ. They don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. They don't want anything to do with Christians. They don't want anything to do with the life that Jesus Christ is talking about. They're not confused. They love clarity too. And they are clearly not on Jesus Christ's side. And that's the thing that I love. I love the clarity that unbelievers have. You know, the Christians are the ones you worry about a lot of times with their lukewarm attitude. God loves clarity, and especially in the matter of your salvation. John 10:28, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, give eternal life to believers in Christ, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Does it get any more clear or definite than that? But you go up to a Christian and you say, can you lose your salvation? Yeah, I think so. Based on what verse or series of verses? Where does the Lord say that in the Bible? You can lose your salvation. I'm gonna send my son to die for you. I'm going to do that strong, hard thing. And then I'm going to turn over you keeping the salvation that he gave you. I'm going to turn that over to weak you. Really? Really? You honestly think that he would do that? I don't. He would not do that. Not ever. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and everyone in your household who also believes. That simple, that moment. Is that clear enough for you? I'm not yelling at you guys. I'm just passionate about the subject. Is that clear enough for you guys? Yes. Is God clear?
Yes.
Can I get an amen from somebody beside my wife?
Amen.
Why does God hate confusion? Why does God hate confusion? Because confusion can cost you your salvation. Because confusion is paralysis. Because vacillation between two opinions is indecision, and God detests indecision. Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. I know your deeds, Laodiceans, that you were neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot, so because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Why were the Laodiceans lukewarm? Because if you read the next couple verses, they had a lot of money and they thought, I don't have need of anything. If I have money, I have need of anything. Until somebody tells you you got cancer, then all of a sudden your money becomes real irrelevant. In the city of Hierapolis, hot springs were famous. So there was a city, Hierapolis, that was up here. And then Laodicea was in the middle. And Colossae was at the bottom. So you got these three cities in a row. Now, in Hierapolis up at the top, hot springs were famous. People came. It was a lava-filled land. So people came from great distances to bathe in those waters, believing that they had medicinal powers. We still do that today. We just do it in a plastic tub called a whirlpool. You know, we still think hot waters have medicinal powers, and I am convinced that they do. You know what? There is nothing cooler than taking a hot shower, and I don't mean any pun by that. Taking a shower is amazing. Did you get that? It's like you get up and you feel like you want to die, and you want to kill somebody, and you walk in a shower, and then 5 minutes later, you feel like $1 million. There's no question that hot water has medicinal powers. Amen? And so Hierapolis had hot springs, and people would go up there and bathe in the water. Now, there was another city down at the bottom, Colossae, that was known for its cold waters. And just as people journeyed to Hierapolis to bathe in the hot springs for health purposes, people would travel great distances to vacation in Colossae, where they would invigorate themselves by taking frequent dips into the famous, refreshing, cool to freezing waters of that city. Now, those people are crazy. I will tell you that right now. I have a timeshare, and the spa at the timeshare has a whirlpool and an ice-cold thing of water. And I'm thinking, what is that for? I mean, the first time I went in there, I asked the guy, do you have a glass? He said, what's the... So I wanted to get some water out of here. This is for drinking, right? Because nobody would really put themselves in that, would they? But I know they would, because there used to be a thing in Chicago called the Polar Bears Club, and people would cut holes in Lake Michigan and go dive in Lake Michigan in the freezing cold. Are they crazy?
Yep.
Like, I don't want anything cold. I almost get mad when people put ice in my drinks. Honestly. But some people like it hot. Some people like it cold. And what does Jesus Christ say? Hey, I like those people. Cold or hot? But Laodicea, the biggest, richest city in the area, lay between those two lands. And it had neither hot water nor cold water. So the people of Laodicea said, well, we don't have hot water, we don't have cold water, but we do have money. So why don't we pipe some of this water down from Hierapolis, and we can get some hot water down here, and maybe we can even pipe some water up from Colossae, and we can get some cold water. Well, what happened? As the water came down the pipe from Hierapolis, it got lukewarm. And it not only got lukewarm, but they didn't have PVC pipe at that time. Can I get an amen? So whatever they were using was putting some nasty chemicals in the water. And so by the time they tasted it, it was gross. And what did they do? They vomited it out of their mouth. You've done that. You take a sip of something. Right? Usually on a friend. That's what I used to do. Like, if I thought I was going to do that, I'd have a friend nearby so I could just spray the friend. Anyway. So that's what the Lord is talking about here. Be cold or hot, but don't be lukewarm. Lukewarm is detestable, tepid, gross, and the only thing you want to do is vomit it out of your mouth. He does not like indecisiveness. So the Christian who is indecisive, the Christian who is lukewarm, is a vexation to the Spirit of our God. Why? Because when we lose our passion, when we lose our heat for God, it's horrible. And if God were ever to lose his heat for us, Christianity would be meaningless. So the sacrificial love of Christianity, that we be loving and gracious to others in the dead and dead to the world, is a must. It requires hot. Most of all, though, we believers in Christ must be never confused or confusing. See, can you explain God to somebody? See, if you can't explain God to somebody, you're a lukewarm Christian. You cannot use the excuse, oh, see, I'm not that verbal. Oh, well, see, I'm an introvert. I am an introvert with great social skills. If I had my preference, I would spend most of my time alone. That's what introverts like doing. They don't like being around people because they don't get power from being around people. They get power from relaxing alone. That's not an excuse not to evangelize. It's not. Yeah, you have a preference. But it doesn't work. So there are times for introversion, but there are times for extroversion. The extroverts, all they want to do is act, 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 act. You know, God in his infinite wisdom has put an extrovert in my life. I am not going to be seeing too many days on the couch. Amen. And there are days, just days when I want to shoot myself in the head, honestly. I threaten. I get the gun. I want to rest right now. But you can imagine what that would be for men. It's not good for men to be alone, right? My God, an introvert man alone would never move from the couch. He was a good man. Where did you find, where did you find his body? On the couch. That's not Christianity. We're not born for the couch. That's not hot. That's lukewarm. We're meant to be out. Next year, we're going to have a lot of events where we go out and talk to people about a church where you can actually learn the Word of God. We're going to invite them here. We're going to spend some time on the street. We're not wearing shoes. We're going to do it like the apostles did it. Amen? No. And we're definitely not wearing stupid red boots. We're not going to be confused. We're going to go tell people who God is. Because you know what? There are a lot of people today in churches all over this city and all over this community who are getting fed a lot of confusion. That's not what's going to come out of this pulpit. We're not going to have a lot of confusion coming out of this pulpit. We have a lot of truth coming out of here. And we need to share that with people. Only lukewarm people keep that to themselves. We're going to be hot. We're never going to be cold. And we're never going to get vomited out of God's mouth. The promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God makes a promise, it's a guarantee. What are some of his guarantees? Do not fear. Stand back and see the salvation of the Lord, which he'll accomplish for you today. See his deliverance. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Closing song talks about a God who doesn't ever change, a God who is always the same, a God who is not confused. The closing song is God is Faithful.
We were saved by grace alone, by faith alone in Christ. We can never save ourselves. Jesus paid the price. Today may bring, no matter what may come. We know God is always there. He's a faithful one. God is faithful, no matter what we do. Faithful, tried and true. God is faithful, even when we're not. Our God is faithful, no matter what you say. Faithful took our sins away. Faithful, faithful, he is faithful. Basic God is. Even when you make mistakes, God never turns away. So don't feel sorry for yourself when failing to obey. Even when we say one thing, do something else instead. God is always faithful. He won't turn his head. God is faithful no matter what we do. Faithful, tried and true. God is faithful
Real faithful. Thank you, God. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for being faithful to us, for always coming through. Thank you for being somebody that we can count on. And we just pray that you give us the courage to share that message with people so that they'll come and hear the truth here in our wonderful walls within Barah Ministries. And we pray that you continue to shape messages from this pulpit that are inviting and that communicate your unconditional love and your grace to all your creatures. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.